Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. You can repeat the translation some words at a time after me. While carrying the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead within the core of his heart, Vasudeva bore the Lord's transcendentally illuminating effulgence. And thus he became
as bright
as the sun.
He was therefore
very difficult
to see or approach
through
sensory perception.
Indeed,
he was unapproachable
and unperceivable
even for
such formidable men as Kamsa.
And not only for
Kamsa,
but for all
living entities. Purport to Vaishnava Prabhupada. The word Dharma is significant. Dharma refers to the place where the Supreme Personality of Godhead resides. In the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 1, Text 1, it is said, Dharma Svena Sada Nirasta Kulakam Satyam Param Dhimahi. In the abode of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there is no influence of material energy. Dhamna svena sada nirasta kuhakam. Any place where the Supreme Personality of Godhead is present by his name, form, qualities, or paraphernalia, immediately becomes a dham. For example, we speak of Vrindavan Dham, Dwarka Dham, and Mathura Dham, because in these places the name, the fame, the qualities and paraphernalia of the Supreme Godhead are always present. Similarly, if one is empowered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead to do something, the core of his heart becomes a dham, and thus he becomes so extraordinarily powerful that not only his enemies but also people in general are astonished to observe his activities. Because he is unapproachable, his enemies are simply struck with wonder, as explained here by the words Durasado Tidurdashava. The words Paurusha Dharma have been explained by various acharyas. Sri Kavira Raghava Acharya says that these words refer to the effulgence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vijayadvaj says that they signify Vishnu Tejas. And Sukadev says, Bhagavat Swarup. The Vaishnava Toshini says that these words indicate the influence of the Supreme Lord's effulgence. And Vishwana Chakravarti Thakur says that they signify the appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Omagyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Sharakaya Chakshurum Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama Shri Chaitanya Mano Vistam Stapitam jena bhutale Swayam rupakadamayam Tadati swapadantikam Vamshakalpa tarubhyascha Kripaha sintubhya evacha Patitanam pavanabhyo Vaishnabhyo namo namah Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So in this particular purport, Srila Prabhupada refers to the word Dhamma. And Dhamma means that place where the Supreme Personality of Godhead resides and also enacts pastimes. Dhamma also means the consciousness of one who is engaged in devotional service. So therefore, the consciousness of somebody who is engaged in devotional service is considered dhamma, because devotional service means in relationship to Krishna. Generally, when we do perform devotional service, we want to purify the mind in relation to the heart, and the heart can become the holy dhamma where Krishna plays with the devotee in the form of the spirit soul. Taking my cue from yesterday's discussions, from the question asked by the devotees here, one devotee, I thought we should speak more about that in relation to the consciousness of Vasudeva. Vasudeva's heart is the Dham, because the appearance of the Supreme Lord is there. And that Dham is transferred to, by a process of initiation, to Devaki, from Vasudeva to Devaki. But the heart can only become dhamma if there is nothing else other than your invitation for Krishna to come. Krishna does not reside in places that are full of lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy. So it is stated in one sense that lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy, they are sort of, you could say in one sense, reside in the mind, not necessarily in the heart. And because they reside in the mind and not necessarily in the heart, then the influence of the mind makes one feel that this is coming from the heart. Get it, point? Because within the heart resides the super soul, accompanied by the soul. But in the mind, there is no super soul accompanied by the soul, like that. So therefore, the incarnation of the mind is called a marichi. Incarnation of the mind is called a marichi. And Marici, you could say, has in a real sense, but temporary. Real but temporary. So Marici has six sons. Okay. And the six sons are Kama, Krodha, Lobha, Moha, Mada, and Matsari. So these six sons are coming from or born of the influence of the mind. And the mind is considered an incarnation of Marici. Now, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, Prabhupada says, he only appears in devotional service. He does not appear where the person is on the mental platform. Mental platform, like that. So the mental platform influences one, not for Krishna to appear, because one is doing activities that are not considered devotional service due to Marici, the incarnation of mind, sending the six sons, lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy to influence the pure souls and the heart. So here, a place for the heart can only be done is because of bhakti. And bhakti is contrary or opposite to kama, krodha, lobha, moha, mada, and matsari. Bhakti is contrary, opposite. Wherever there's lust, anger, greed, madness, and illusion, and envy, bhakti will not reside. Bhakti will not stay like that. So therefore, only bhakti can bring one in contact with Krishna. And bhakti in its active form is called the execution of devotional service. So the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared within the devotional consciousness of Vasudev. Like that. And therefore, that devotional consciousness affected the devotional consciousness of Devaki. Like that. So then Srila Prabhupada says that symbolically, Devaki represents bhakti. Prabhupada says symbolically, Devaki represents bhakti, and symbolically, Kamsa represents a material fear. So the incarnation of the mind, which is Marici, fully influenced Kamsa in his previous life, known as a demon called Kalanemi. Known as a demon called Kalanemi, and that demon was also killed by Vishnu. But when Vishnu killed Kalanemi told Vishnu, I'm going to come back to kill you. So Vishnu said, I will fulfill your desire and you can try again. See? And then Kalanemi came as Kamsa, like that. But because Kalanemi was touched by Vishnu, like that. So Vishnu said, Vishnu wanted to fulfill the desire that he's touched by me and I am pure. So that which is pure is more powerful than that which is impure. I am pure by me killing you, but you're still having a desire to kill me. But you must try to kill me in a pure way. Don't try to kill me by taking my place. So you try your best to kill me in a pure way. Like that. In other words, Kala Neme must be purified of lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy. Kala Neme has to be purified of that. Because Marich, the incarnation of the mind, had overwhelmed him. Overwhelmed him like that. Now, this Kala Neme, because Marichi overwhelmed him, Kala Neme also had 6 sons. And the 6 sons corresponds to the 6 materialistic types of consciousness, like that. And his 6 sons had some names, like that, corresponding with lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy. And the names are Amsa, Suvigrama, Krata, Damana, Rupir Madana, Krodha Hanta. And because Kala Neme's consciousness, he sort of gave birth to these 6 sons. They are considered Sargarbhas. Sargarbhas means 6 garbhas. And because Kala Neme was very powerful, they themselves became powerful. Especially powerful in military arts. Affairs. The 6 sons of Kala Neme, who are personified as the 6 sons of Marichi, the mind influencing Kala Neme. Like that. So, Kala Neme sent them for training. You know? And he said, the best person to train you is your grandfather. Who's the grandfather? Anyone knows? Hiranyakashipu. So Hiranyakashipu trained them so well that these 6 garbhas, or these 6 sons of Kala Neme, the grandfather is Hiranyakashipu, by some arrangement, like that. They were trained so well by Hiranyakashipu that these 6 sons felt we should become better than our grandfather. Better than our grandfather. Now when they were feeling like that, Hiranyakashipu knew their desire. Now no demon wants another demon to become better than him, even if it's the grandson. Like that. So they realized, in order to become better, let's find out where Hiranyakashipu got his power from. So they asked their grandfather, where did you get your power from? Who gave you benedictions? Who blessed you? He said, Brahma. So without Hiranyakashipu knowing, these 6 garbhas, the sons of Kala Neme, they approached Lord Brahma. Like that. And Lord Brahma gave them benedictions and blessings that they will not be able to be killed by any demigod, any yaksha, any gandharva, anyone. They'll not be able to kill them like that. And because of that, Brahma also told them, you go and perform some austerities and penances like that. And you try to exceed your grandfather because you're going to be better than them. Like that. So you know, if somebody becomes better than their teacher, they show their teacher, I am better than you. Like that. So Hiranyakashipu came to know this, like this. So when Hiranyakashipu came to know this, he became so angry at his grandsons, like that, that you have given up worship of me, and you have gone to worship Brahma without my permission. He became extremely angry, like that. And he said, therefore I have lost all affection for you. I have lost all affection for you. And in that way, I am I'm not going to give you a blessing. So the six Garbhas were scared, fearful for Hiranyakashipu. What are you going to do? I will curse you. So the curse was that when your father appears again, Kalanemi, when your father appears again, he will kill all of you. He will kill all of you. So they said, that's okay. That means we will die and we will be take birth again. And then we will die again. That's okay. Like that. So this infuriated Hiranyakashipu like anything. Like that. So that Kalanemi, he took birth as Kamsa. And because while Vishnu was killing him, he's still at the disease. He's being killed and he's telling Vishnu, I'm going to come back to kill you. Like that. So Vishnu said, okay, you can do it now in a pure way. You can try your best in a pure way. Like that. So when that Kalanemi became Kamsa, Kamsa had to kill his own. Not sons. That is external. Kamsa had to kill his own demoniac consciousness. See, it appears literally he killed six sons. His own sons from the previous life, his sons of Kalanemi. But Kamsa had to kill his own demoniac consciousness. And you can only kill your own demoniac consciousness through the association of a pure devotee. Like that. So who did he associate with? Mother Devaki. So externally it appears, Ketima was born. First son. Name was Ketima. First son was born. So when the son was born, Devaki was not so much concerned, as we discussed last night, about the sixth son. She was concerned about the eighth one. So immediately Vasudev said, take this child. So through the association of Devaki, and who's Devaki? Devaki is his sister. Cousin sister, but sister nevertheless. Like that. So when he killed the six sons of Devaki, he killed his own demoniac consciousness. After that, he was fit to fight with the Supreme Pure. He was fit to fight with the Supreme Pure. And then Krishna killed him. In some commentaries, they also state that Kamsa went badly guarded. In other places, in another pastime, with Kamsa, it is a different entity. It's a different soul that is in the body of Kamsa in another universe. Like that. And in that sense, we find that when Kamsa was fighting with Krishna in the wrestling arena, nobody gave a better fight in Krishna Leela. Not even Putana, Agasura, nobody gave a better fight in pleasure to Krishna than Kamsa. Kamsa was more powerful than his principal wrestlers, Chanura and Mustika. They also gave Krishna and Balaram a good fight. But better than that was Kamsa. Like that. So Kamsa fits in a sense, in a pure way, after this six demoniac mentality was killed from him. By him killing his own son, so to speak, the demoniac mentality. When Kamsa was fighting with Krishna, he was pure. So therefore that is called a secondary ras to the primary ras. And one of the secondary rasas to the primary rasas is called virya. Virya means the art of chivalry. Chivalry means giving Krishna a good fight. Like that, giving Krishna a good fight. And that's pleasurable for Krishna. Giving Krishna a good fight. So one of the secondary rasas called virya rasa, chivalry, it gave Krishna so much pleasure that even wrestling with the coward boys didn't give him that pleasure. Why? Because when he's wrestling with the coward boys, you know, that is a type of virya rasa. You know, we are fighting like that. But he doesn't kill them. He doesn't kill. But real virya rasa for Krishna means either you kill me or I am going to kill you. That's the extremity, the extreme feature of virya rasa, chivalry. So in order to fight like that, this doesn't happen. Just like the gopis, they cannot embrace Krishna in public. Clear? Like that. But yet Kamsa is embracing Krishna in public in the arena in Mathura. It may not be an affectionate embrace. It may be an embrace to kill. This type of wrestling is there. But nevertheless, he is touching the transcendental form of a Krishna. Touching, spiking. Like that. So that sense of, you could say, virya rasa is there. Like that. And then Devaki, By the association of divinity, Kamsa became purified to fight with Krishna in virya rasa, purely like that. And in that sense, Devaki was also, you could say in one sense, by the association of Kamsa, you know, because practically Kamsa was the king, and Kamsa was feeding them, Vasudev, but under Kamsa's rule, they were living there, like that. So in one sense, the devotion of Devaki has to be more powerful to push away the contamination of associating with Kamsa. Like that. Sometimes for us as devotees, we may associate with contaminated people. Like that. And if our devotion or bhakti is not fixed, is not firm, then we may flow by being influenced by the contamination of the people that we are with. We may go along that contamination, but then you have to become stronger again in your devotion to overcome that association of contamination. So because Devaki was constantly meditating on Krishna to be a son, at the same time she knows that that son is going to kill Kamsa. So that overwhelmed the contamination of Kamsa being connected to her, even as present Buddha. In that sense. So these are very intricate detailed dealings between associates of the Lord, like that. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur also says, and Prabhupada quotes him often here, like that, Kamsa wants to kill, not Krishna. Kamsa wants to kill Vishnu from the previous life as Kalanemi. He doesn't want to kill Krishna. He wants to kill Vishnu. Like that. So therefore when Krishna is a little baby, that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. So when Krishna was brought back by Akrura, Krishna was brought back by Akrura, there's a place called Akrura Ghata, where Krishna and Balaram went into the kund or lake. Yeah. So from that time, Krishna's remains Apar Ghata, that means in Vrindavan but unmanifest. And then the Vasudev Krishna becomes Prakat again. And that Vasudev Krishna, who is like in one sense a two-armed Vishnu form of Krishna, Kila comes up. Like that. So we should know that Kamsa is very much connected to Krishna in Viryas. Nobody gave Krishna such immense pleasure in fighting except number one is Kamsa. Like that. Nobody gave him such immense pleasure, Kamsa. So therefore Kamsa, he falls within the category of what is called Leela Shakti. He falls within the category of the pastime potency. Leela Shakti, pastime potency. Like that. So one disciple, he had a name that starts with K. Like that. So Prabhupada called him closely, like that. And then he asked his secretary, you know, the names that are already there in the register that starts with K, like that. So, and then Prabhupada heard a report that this devotee, you know, he also likes to fight with other devotees. And he likes to fight the devotees. So when he asked the secretary any name with K, he gave all the names quickly with K and so forth. So Prabhupada had to come up with another name. He gave him one name, Keshi Damana. Like that. So then the secretary told, no, Prabhupada, we already have a Keshi Damana Das. Like that. Keshi Dhamana means kill of Keshi. Like that, right? We already have the name. So Prabhupada said, your name won't be Keshi Dhamana. But because it was in Prabhupada's consciousness that, you know, Keshi Dhamana, Keshi is a demon, and Dhamana means the killer of the Keshi demon, who is Krishna. So that was in Prabhupada's consciousness. So that I cannot give you the name. So he said, okay, not that name, Keshi Dhamana. So then he said, I'll give you another name, but in the same consciousness. He said, your name is Kamsa Hunter. Kamsa Hunter. Hunter means to kill. Kamsa. So the devotee was like, oh, okay, Kamsa Hunter. I don't know whether he appreciated it, but he said, your name is Kamsa Hunter, like that. So years later, after Prabhupada left the planet, this devotee and his wife and his two children, they landed up serving in South Africa. You know, they were like one of the devotees that was sent, you know, to come and serve. And he's a disciple of Prabhupada, his wife is a disciple of Prabhupada, and he has two children who were born. So his name is Kamsa Hunter. So for like, you know, like, for example, you know, you call a person like in a short form, you know. So when we call him sometimes, his godmothers will call him, he say, hey Kamsa, come in. Come in. They leave the hunter out. And he says, I'm not Kamsa. No, Kamsa, come here. You like to fight with everyone, come. You know, like that. Kamsa hunter. Like that. So then I spoke with him. I said, how did Prabhupada, you know, give you this name? Come to this point, give you this name, Kamsa hunter Das. So he was recollecting what I just said. First he said, Kesi Dhamana. You know, but he said, no, Kamsa Hunter, like that. And he said, and Prabhupada saw I wasn't really happy like that. Then later on, when he went to give dakshin, you know, like the next day, like that. Prabhupada said, are you happy? Yeah. He said that if you explain to me why you gave me the name, probably I'll be more happy. Prabhupada says that I gave you the name Kamsa Hunter so that you'll be empowered to kill all the demonic propensities in your own nature. And you'll be pure. Like that. So he said, I'm very happy. I want to take all this lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and the art of me. I'll be pure. Like that. So therefore, in our perspective, we have to get the association of persons like Devaki, like that, to be purified of these six influences from the mind, marichi, of lust, anger, greed, madness, you know. We have to become completely purified of that. And when we become purified, then ourselves, in the likeness of Devaki, we become receptacles. We become receivers of bhakti. Like that. And when we become receivers of bhakti, then Guru comes. Then, if you're ready for devotional service, receivers of bhakti, then Guru comes, then Balaram comes. And Balaram, like we said, is the advanced party to prepare for Krishna to come. In that way. Okay, usually we finish late every day. So I thought of just discussing from what we took the question yesterday. And there were some outstanding questions from yesterday, so we'll take them now. So we don't finish too late.
Okay, Hare Krishna. My question yesterday was, you had mentioned that Vishnu does not take the form of a baby, right? I mean, yeah, that's what you said. So it's Krishna who comes and plays the Leela in the form of a baby, and Vishnu himself doesn't take the form of a baby. So my question was, what about...
One second. You know, all expansions, incarnations, and even portions and plenary portions, you know, incarnations, expansions, portions, and plenary portions. When we say Etecha Kala, Pumsa, Krishna's Rupanman's life, like this. So there's, you could say amsas, you know, plenary portions of a portion for portion. All these personalities are in Krishna, like that. So Vishnu is also in Krishna, like that. So Krishna can appear as the form of a baby. And within that form of the baby is also Vishnu. You getting the point? Like that. But in the category of the form of Vishnu, who is in expansion of Krishna, like that, Vishnu doesn't have the full tattva to transform himself into a baby. Although within baby Krishna is Vishnu, but Vishnu doesn't have that, you could say, eligibility or adhika to transform himself into a baby. Because baby means Leela. Baby means Leela. There's no such thing as Vishnu Leela or Narayan Leela. There's only a thing called Krishna Leela. So I just want to clarify that before we take your question further. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's actually clarified quite a bit.
Yeah, but one thing that I mentioned yesterday also, the CEO, the chief executive officer of the material world, is who?
Vishnu.
Shiva. Shiva Dakshani Vishnu. So when Krishna wants to come into this world, he has to come through the agency of Shiva Dakshani. He has to contact the chief executive officer. So he comes through the chief executive. So when he comes through the agency of Vishnu, it's as if Vishnu is transforming into a baby in front of Devaki, like that. But who is coming through the agency of the CEO? The supreme enjoyer who doesn't work. Who doesn't work. He never works. And Narayan works, Vishnu works, Shiva works, Durga works, Brahma works. But he comes through the agency of the CEO, Shiva Dakshini Vishnu. So therefore he transforms into a baby.
Okay. I just had a second part to my question. So what about other avatars like Ram, where he actually appeared as a baby? So how do you explain that? Because that's not really... Is that an expansion of Vishnu or Krishna or Ram himself? I mean, I know Krishna is like the ultimate, but I don't think you see what I'm saying.
Wonderful question. Yes. The gradations of the realms of the spiritual nature is first Goloka Vrindavan. Right? Within Goloka, there are three features of consciousness of the Supreme Lord in reciprocation with his devotees. Within Goloka. Sometimes Prabhupada synonymously says this is Krishna Loka. It's also given in Brahma Samhita. It's called Krishna Loka. Like that. And therefore Prabhupada has given us our primary altars in many places in the world. Our primary altars is Gaur Nithai, Radha Krishna, Jagannath Baladev Subhadra. In many temples, Prabhupada said, if you want the three primary altars, this is it. Gaur Nithai, Radha Krishna, Jagannath Baladev Subhadra. Like that. So therefore, we should know that that is called Krishna Loka. Who sometimes, specifically, Goloka, like that, see? So, in the center altar, Radha Krishna, like Radha Bhangi Bihari here, center altar Radha Krishna, Krishna loves. We're talking from the perspective of Krishna, not from the perspective of the devotee. Krishna loves. Radha Krishna means Krishna loves. Then, from the perspective of Jagannath, Baladev and Subhadra, Krishna misses the love of his devotees. Missing the love. Like that. See? So Radha Krishna means sambhog. Meeting, being with the devotees, loving them. And Jagannath, Baladev and Subhadra means Krishna misses the love of his devotees. Means vipralamba. Means I'm feeling separation from you. Like that. See? So we'll discuss that a little bit more now. Like that. For us, we should not be having feelings of separation. Those feelings of separation is exclusively for Radha and the residents of Vrindavan, which is called Vipralamba from the perspective of the devotees. Like that. Sometimes you find, you know, devotees, they get into this sort of a consciousness. You know, I'm feeling so much separation from my Guru Maharaj. I'm feeling so much separation from my beloved Krishna. Like that. This is called Sahaja. Complete Sahaja. Like that. And sometimes these people, when they give lectures, you know, like they give lectures and they externally exhibit some symptoms, and the audience will feel, oh, he's feeling so much separation from Krishna. And then, so when that happened to one personality in Vrindavan, the news came to Prabhupada when he was in his quarters, like that. Prabhupada said, you go and you give him one boot in the face. And when you give him one boot in the face, he'll come out of his feelings of separations and his real feelings will come out. For us, it is not feelings of separation. For us, is serving in separation. Big difference, right? Feelings of separation and serving in separation is huge difference. Huge difference. Like that. Like one devotee told me in Vrindavan during Srila Prabhupada's Disappearance Day festival. Like that. He came and told me, you know, I miss the Srila Prabhupada so much. Feelings of separation. So immediately I asked him, how many rounds you chanted today? He said, what that's going to do with the, you know, having feelings of separation from Prabhupada. I said, but how many rounds you chanted today? Like that. He said, well, I chanted 10 rounds, I have 6 more rounds to go. I said, maybe do your 6 more rounds and then see if that feeling comes. You understand the point? So we do not have feelings of separation. We serve in separation. For us, feelings of separation is on the mental platform because we are still wearing the subtle body as a dress. We're still wearing the subtle body as a dress. So the feeling is not from the heart. It's just the mind is telling you, you feel like this. So it's the mental platform. So for us, always, till the time we leave, till the time we leave. So one time, Srila Prabhupada expressed himself, you know, when one disciple asked Srila Prabhupada, Do you feel separation from your Guru Maharaj? He said, my Guru Maharaj is always by my side. He didn't say his feeling, he said, my Guru Maharaj is always by my side. So then they asked him how. He says, because I'm trying my best to execute his order and instructions. That means serving in separation. Serving in separation. So there's a vast difference between feelings of separation and serving in separation. You'll find when devotees say, I'm feeling separation, you must know immediately that they are lazy. They are lazy, they're in their own mental world. Like, and we all know the mind is very, very naughty. Suddenly you have feelings of separation and at the time you forgot, mind is telling you something else. So this is a mental platform. So therefore in Krishna Loka, it is different. Because these are Raga Mika devotees, they are eternal associates, it's different for them. And we are coming to the platform of Raga Noga, we must follow them but not imitate. We follow Mother Yasoda, but we do not imitate. That's the important thing. So therefore, this feature where Radha Krishna means Krishna loves. Another feature of Krishna Loka means Krishna is feeling separation from his devotees, that is Jagannath. like that. And Gaura Nitai, Gaura Hari, Lord Chaitanya means that Krishna misses that love so much that he's distributing it freely. That he's distributing it freely. That is inconceivable. On the material platform, if somebody is not with you, how can you give them to somebody else? You cannot. But it is like that. It is like that. So Krishna loves, Krishna misses that love, and Krishna distributes love. This is Krishna Loka. So this is the topmost abode of three features of transcendental consciousness and exchanges. Krishna loves, Krishna misses that love, and Krishna distributes that love. Like that. Similarly, from the perspective of the devotees love Krishna, Radha Krishna, Jagannath Baladev Subhadra, the devotees miss Krishna, you know, feelings of separation, and Gaura Nitai, the devotees distribute Krishna consciousness. Distribute Krishna consciousness, preaching. So these are the three different aspects of Goloka Vrindavan or Krishna Loka. This is nicely describing Chaitanya Charitamrita also. And that's the highest feature, highest abode. Brahma Samhita said, Mahesh, you know, Devi Dham, Mahesh Dham and Hari Dham. We're only speaking about Hari Dham here. So the next feature of gradation of the spiritual nature, the next feature is called Mathura Dwarka. Mathura Dwarka. And Mathura Dwarka is synonymous to Jagannath Puri. Because Ratiyatra comes from Dwarka, coming to Kurukshetra. Is synonymous to Puri, Jagannath Puri, like that. So in other words, Jagannath Puri is also in Krishna Loka, but it's synonymous in that sense, like that. Because Krishna is missing the love of the residents of Vrindavan, Jagannath, Baladev and Subhadra, like that. So then after Mathura Dwarka, then comes the abode of, anyone else?
Saket.
Now then comes the abode of Ayodhya.
Saket
means
Ayodhya.
Ayodhya, same. Yeah. Then comes the abode of Ayodhya. Then comes, you know, you could say the, irrespective of the order, but it's like circling, irrespective of the order. It comes the other incarnations. There's an eternal abode of Nishinga, Vamana, Varaha, and so forth. This is within the Vaikuntha realm. Like that. See? So therefore it is important to note for us Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Gaudiya Vaishnavas. We go to Krishna Loka. Gaudiya Vaishnavas. But if you do not go to Krishna Loka like Hanuman, Hanuman appeared as Murari Gupta in Chaitanya Leela. So Chaitanya Leela reconciles everything which is within Krishna Loka. Like that. One has to be very careful. One has to be super careful. Like that. Sometimes you may hear somebody saying that Mayapur Navadvipa is not there. Is not there. That means they are committing offense to Jiva Goswami. Understand? They are committing offense to Nityananda Prabhu and Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who wrote Navadvipa Dhamma Mahatmya. Like that. So, Mayapur Navadvipa is not different from. From Goloka Vrindavan, yes. It's not different. Like that. The only difference is that Krishna loves and Krishna distributes that love. It's still within the same realm. Now, in Mayapur Navadvip, Krishna loves his devotees in Goloka Vrindavan. In Mayapur Navadvip, Krishna distributes the love of whom? Krishna distributes the love of his devotees to others. And that's the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He distributes the love of his devotees to others. Because Krishna's greatest wealth is the love of his devotees. And he distributes that love in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is how it sort of, in one sense, I'm trying to make it as simple as possible, but that's the simplest way I could explain that. Does that cover your question? Is that all right? Other questions or comments? Take the microphone to the back, so there's a hand up there.
Maharaj, on Sunday discussed about...
On when?
Sunday.
Okay.
You discussed about Durga appearance. So the question is, you discuss how she began being worshipped from after she appeared, especially in Gujarat state. So the question is, before that, there was no worship of Durga.
No worship of Durga when?
Before the appearance, her appearance and the appearance of Krishna.
Before the appearance of Krishna, there's no worship of Durga.
Yeah.
What's your question?
I just asked.
His question is that when Durga appeared, when Kamsa wanted to build the figure, was there Durga worship before that or not?
You see, there's a lot of interest in Durga over there. A lot of interest in Durga. Okay. We'll have to recap in brief and then clarify. Okay. Yoga Maya is instructed by Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan. You please go to Nanda Gokula. I am coming. You have to go first. And then, see? Yoga means to be linked to Krishna, but there is a form of bewilderment, Maya. Yoga, Maya. So Yoga Maya was the transcendental energy of Krishna. There is a transcendental bewilderment that covers Mother Yasoda to feel that Krishna is her son, but not God. You understand? Like that. That same Yoga Maya also bewilders Krishna to forget that he is God and he is the son of Mother Yasoda. Same Yoga Maya. So Krishna ordered Yoga Maya, you go to Nanda Gokula, like that. At the same time, Yoga Maya is feeling, oh, Krishna, that's all right, you know. I can go there and everything is transcendental and remove fear, you know, from this place, because wherever Krishna is, there's no question of fear. Like, that's all right. But also, you know, I like to be a personal participant in your leela. Krishna says, that's all right. You're already blessed to be there too. Like that. So an expansion or a feature of Yoga Maya becomes the daughter of Yasoda, and her name is Subhadra. Clear? This is where... this is in spiritual consciousness, exclusively. Like, So when Vasudev brings Vasudev Krishna and exchanges the babies in Nanda Gokula, you know, in the room where Mother Yasoda is, he picks up the girl baby. So at that time, that girl baby, the girl baby also becomes the daughter of Devaki. And Devaki is the Aishwarya Bhav form of Mother Yasoda, who is Madhurya Bhav. Devaki is expansion of Mother Yasoda. So when Kamsa picks up this girl baby, she has to reciprocate no more with spiritual consciousness. She has to reciprocate with the material or demoniac consciousness of Kamsa. Right there. At that time, Yoga Maya transforms herself into Subhadra, transforms herself into Durga, or Yoga Maya transforms herself into Mahamaya. Getting the point? Now it's a thankless task. So what would be my function? When I'm a Subhadra, it's easy. Now I am sort of different. I have went through the agency of the consciousness of Kamsa and touched by him. So I have to reciprocate with material consciousness of people. And I don't want to do that, so therefore it's a thankless task. She becomes Durga. And then Krishna gave her the benediction, as Durga you'll be dispersed in various places with various names that we mentioned. Like that. And one of the principal names, after she's dispersed, she goes and performs austerity, and name is Vindhyachala Vasini. And that Vindhyachala Vasini is worshipped as Devi, especially in Gujarat by the ladies. Getting the point? So from a devotional perspective, we know that the source or the origin of Durga is Subhadra. We know that. But why do people worship Vindhyachala Vasini? Why do people worship different forms of Durga? And famous one is Vaishnav Devi. You know? Famous. Why do people worship that? Because they have, they want material opulence. They want material opulence. Durga gives you material opulence. Subhadra gives you spiritual opulence. You getting the point? Subhadra, because she is there in Dwarka, it's spiritual opulence, royalty. But we want to go beyond that. We want the simplicity of Madhurya Bhav in that sense. So this is one appearance of Subhadra becoming Durga and again becoming Subhadra. You understand? In Dwarka, as the younger sister of Krishna. Like that. But this is one appearance. Now, I cannot tell you whether Durga was not worshipped before in another millennium. This is what we have for our present millennium in this universe on the earthly planet. You getting the point? Like that. Because the pastimes of the Lord are like an eternal roadshow. Eternal roadshow. It is going on the same way in another universe. And maybe in another yuga. Like that. So I am limited to what we have in this Bhagavatam. And although the Bhagavatam is not limited itself, it is eternal. That's sufficient for us. Is that all right?
Yes.
Prabhupada used to say, you know, worshipping Durga is all right in that sense. And Prabhupada said, but you have to do it in the mood of the gopis who observe Katya Yani Vrat. Katya Yani Vrat. they worship Durga to get Krishna as their husband. Like that.
Krishna's devil worshiping. Yes, the Maharaj called that day. Considering they saw the 800 palm of Durga. So he appreciated Mother Devaki. This means Kansa was worshiping Durga.
Ah.
Krishna was worshiping. You explain that. Durga, even Krishna worship was going on before his appearance.
Mahapati Prabhu is saying Durga worship was going on even before Krishna's appearance.
Even Krishna worship was.
Are you getting the point? So he is saying the point in Bhagavatam, he is giving a wonderful point of Mahapati Prabhu. That when the baby Subhadra slipped from his hands and went up in the sky and became Durga with multi-armed weapons and so forth like that, Kamsa then realized, oh, this Devaki is very powerful. Because their daughter was actually Durga. But he doesn't know her daughter was not Durga, her daughter was Subhadra. And Kamsa himself knows about Durga worship. It's not that the origin of Durga came only then, and then the worship began after that. Kamsa already knew about Durga worship, because that's how he appreciated it in that sense. So that has been going on like that. Prabhupada says that so long as there is the presence of the material world, there must be an order. There must be some order in the material world. And that order is in the material world is given by the warden of the material world. And who is that? Durga. And Durga means prison. You are the prisoners of the material world, and the warden of the prisoners is Durga. So Durga worship has been going on. That's what he is saying. But how it has been going on, we are not really so interested in that. We are interested in telling people, come to the origin of Durga, who is? Subhadra was a personified form of Yogamaya. And that's why we encourage people to worship Jagannath, Baladev and Subhadra. Because Subhadra is there and Subhadra is the original form of Mother Durga. Is that all right? We should stop there. Alright, so tomorrow evening there's no class like this because we're having another evening program here with about 80 university students are coming here. And then
Thursday again.
Yeah, class will be here. But if you'd like to come tomorrow, we're going to discuss with the university students about Krishna consciousness. They will continue again on Thursday evening here at 7:30, and then Friday evening, and then on Saturday evening, and then Sunday, telling the times for Balram Purnima.
What's the topic tomorrow?
Oh, Thursday.
What's the topic tomorrow with the university students?
The topic is something about real happiness for the university students.
Thursday is Purnima.
Thursday is Julan Yatra. Okay? Beginning, yes. And it ends on Balaram Purnima. Right? So what time is the Julan Yatra?
7:30
today.
Business class family
started 8:00. So this Julan Yatra from 7:30. After Julan Yatra you come down. So we'll probably start before 8:00 the class here tomorrow. We'll speak a little bit more about Balanath on Thursday also, because his appearance is on Sunday. We can discuss that. Yes. Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Ananta koti Vaishnava Vrinda ki jai. Is this all right? Did I go?